In Proverbs chapter 13, in verse 20, we read, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." What kind of people do you choose to call your friends? Who are the people that you can choose to pick out as those who are your closest companions? What are those individuals like? Now, let me preface our study this morning, our message, by saying that this: our demeanor toward all people must reflect the fact that we are called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ and lights in a dark world. Every single person with whom we come into contact, we are called by God to be ambassadors. We are called to be lights. It's never God's will for any of us to be mean or to be unkind toward others. Yet, we see throughout Scripture that when we become a citizen of heaven, when we become a child of God, a born-again Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ, our priorities change. They're different. Our friendships change. While kindness to everyone is imperative, when we come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, we often find that some close ties may need to be broken for our own well-being. And new friendships can flourish for our own spiritual well-being and for the spiritual well-being of others. Many of you know what I'm talking about. You come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and the people that you used to hang around begin to notice something different about you. And oftentimes, choices need to be made. Are you going to associate and call your close friends those who desire nothing of the Lord? Think back to the second chapter of Acts, if you will, with me just for a moment, because years ago now, we went through the book of Acts during our Sunday school hour here, and we noticed from Acts chapter 2 that the exposition of the Word of God and faith in Jesus Christ had changed thousands of lives in Acts chapter 2. Not only had it convicted men and women of sin and opened the door for eternal life, but understand that receiving Jesus Christ as one's personal Savior actually changed the lives of these previous unbelievers. And unlike their lives as those who did not know Jesus Christ, they now love to be together in fellowship as they pray together, fellowship together, listen to the teaching of God's word together. And we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we read that they, these thousands of new believers who came to faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And then we read down in verse 46 that they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and they broke bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. This change in life of these individuals and their interests and their priorities brought about a change in their friendships and relationships. Imagine yourself in the first century, and you're a Jewish individual on the day of Pentecost. You hear Peter's sermon. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes and indwells you. And next week, you're still fellowshipping with God's people. And the friends that you used to be around and hang around who were, you know, influencing you in a way that not toward godliness and righteousness are wondering why. You know, why is he hanging out with these people? Why does she desire to come together and be a part of a body of believers in continuing steadfastly in prayer and fellowship and in breaking of bread, commemorating the Lord's Supper and fellowship and the apostles? Something's different about that person. Think of all the friendships that must have been broken, and old ties must have been broken. And yet, listen, new ties formed. New friendships formed. God's word has a lot to say about our relationships with other people, especially concerning those with whom we choose to call our friends or our companions. Clearly, we have different levels of friends or companions. Again, Brother Dave alluded to this morning when he was talking about those whom you can always invite over. You know, your closest circle. It doesn't matter how your house looks. That was good. It's obvious we can divide our relationships with others into several levels. We have acquaintances, and we have colleagues, people that we work with and we know pretty well. We have friends or companions, people that we do choose to associate with on a regular basis. We have close friends. I mean, those who are even in a tighter circle, the things we share in common. And then we have family. And you can't do anything about that. All right, family's family, and you're born into that. We can't do much about our acquaintances. We can't do much about our family or even our colleagues. At times, those with whom God has put in our circle to work with on a regular basis. However, we choose our friends or our companions. I'm speaking to young people today, as well as older people here today. We choose our friends and companions. And because we choose our friends and companions, we need to be sure that our choices are pleasing to God, and that they cause our relationship with the Lord to grow rather than to be hindered. It is so important that we choose the right companions, because as we're going to see from God's word, our lives will change either for the better or for the worse, depending on with whom we associate and call our friends or our companions. The first thing I want to consider this morning, we'll be looking at several texts throughout Scripture, is the importance of choosing the right kinds of friends. Remember, friends we can choose. Companions we can choose. And I want to show you from Scripture that obedience to the Lord is at stake if we choose the wrong kinds of friends. Do you realize this? The Bible is full of instruction concerning who we are to call our friends and who we are to separate from in regard to our friendships. What's at stake here? Number one, our fellowship with God is at stake. Again, not a relationship with God. If you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you hear this here all the time. You belong to Him and that can't be broken. But our fellowship with God is at stake. Look at 1 John chapter 1. Over in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, the Apostle John writes to the believers in the church, he says, "That which we," that is John, he and the other apostles and prophets, "that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you." This is the person and work of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ had declared to these apostles and prophets. John says, "We declare this unto you," notice, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Fellowship is predicated upon truth. And truly, John says, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And he writes, "These things we write unto you, believers," in the first century and here at Grace Bible Church of Fresno, "that your joy may be full." 1 John here tells us that if we are to have fellowship with Jesus Christ, and if we were to keep going, we see this theme throughout 1 John, that we must abide in Him. Abide in Him. That's walk in the light as He is in the light, and to separate ourselves from whatever would defile that walk in the light. This is what the message of 1 John is, abiding in Jesus Christ. Separating from those things that would defile our fellowship with Jesus Christ. Our fellowship with Jesus Christ is at stake, not our salvation, not our relationship, but that fellowship with Him is at stake if we choose the wrong kinds of friends who would defile our walk with the Lord. Our blamelessness at His appearing is at stake. We read in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, John says, "Now, little children, abide in Him." This is the theme, abiding in Jesus Christ. That fellowship with Him. "That when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Over in 2 Peter chapter 3, back in 2 Peter chapter 3, we read in verse 11, "Seeing then," Peter's talking about the end of the world and down the road, what God has in store, and he says, "Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation, that is, holy manner of life, walk of life, and godliness? Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Do you think your friends, your companions, your associations matter in this life? Do you think they have any bearing on your fellowship with Christ, on your readiness for the return of Jesus Christ? Obedience to the Lord is at stake if we choose the wrong kinds of friends. Our fellowship with him is at stake. Because as we see back in our text in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, our own well-being is integrally linked to our friendships. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Do you realize that our own well-being is linked to our friendship? Not only our spiritual well-being is often linked to our friendships, our companionships, our associations with others. As we're going to see through our brief study this morning, our friends will either edify us and bring us closer to Christ, or they will influence our beliefs and our behavior in a way that causes us to drift from the fellowship with Christ that he desires of us. And I don't think there's a single person here this morning that would say, oh, that's not true. Because we have all chosen at times in our lives the wrong kinds of friends. And they have influenced us to drift from where we should and need to be in our fellowship with Christ. Conversely, I believe and trust many of you in here know what I'm talking about, because there are times in your life where you have chosen the right kinds of friends. And you've surrounded yourself with those who will spiritually build you up and edify you, and at times even bring admonishment or reproof or rebuke to your life, yet for your spiritual good. Our own well-being is linked to our friendships, not only our spiritual well-being, but of course even our emotional and our physical well-being. Even those who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior realize that our associations can affect our physical well-being. You get involved in the wrong kind of crowd, the people doing the wrong kinds of things, the emotional and physical toll of sin will wreak havoc on your mind and your body. The importance of choosing the right friends is imperative, especially for those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior. The wrong kinds of friends. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know this text in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. A lot of different kinds of people in the church of Corinth. And yet we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, the Apostle Paul writes, "Be not deceived, you Corinthian believers." And those of you at Grace Bible Church of Fresno in 2017, don't be deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. You see, this verse, I believe, provides us with the basis for our having to shun some friendships in this life, even among believers. Interestingly enough, the context here relates to belief, those listening to false teachers, as much as behavior. Do we sometimes need to shun friendships because a person is engaging in errant belief, false doctrine? Yes, that's the context in which Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you just read the context. Verse 33 even warns us that our own ideas concerning acceptable friendships or relationships may not coincide with God's knowledge of what is best for us. Notice the first phrase of verse 33. Be not deceived. Oh, I can handle it. I can handle it. I'm strong. I'm a strong Christian. I can surround myself with people who are teaching false doctrine, who are living immorally, whose behavior is reprehensible to the Lord, who's not really encouraging me in the things of the Lord. I can handle it. I can do it. It's okay to have these kind of people around me. It's okay to have these kind of people in my sphere of companions. And the first phrase that God gives us here is, do not deceive yourself. The Apostle Paul, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says it's possible for us to to think we know what is right or what we can handle when in fact we're completely wrong and deceiving ourselves. And then he writes, evil communications, that word means companionships or associations, notice, corrupt good manners, that is, godly morals and living. Now, if God says evil communications corrupt good manners, and you say, no, it doesn't, it's not going to bother me, it doesn't affect me, I can handle it, who's right? God. God is stating this as a moral, spiritual principle of fact. Don't deceive yourself, young people. Don't deceive yourself, older people, no matter how old we get. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The way we put it in today's vernacular is one bad apple, you know, spoils the whole bunch. You don't put a bad apple in with a bunch of good apples, and all of a sudden the bad apple, you go there the next morning and it's good. The goodness of the good apple is rubbed off on the bad apple, and now I can eat it. It's just the opposite. And it happens in our house all the time because fruit sits. Fruit sits in our house, and it kind of stays there. You know, you get the bag of Halos or Cuties or whatever, and they're in the fruit thing. The bananas are hanging there. They're all brown. And all of a sudden you go to one day somebody wants a Cutie, and you look, and oh, it's fuzzy. And not just that one, but every other one it touched is fuzzy. And so, of course, I'm like, all right, we can just pull the ones around, you know, and eat those. Amari's like, no way, we're throwing them all out. Nothing wrong with penicillin, but God is saying here that our friends and associations will often affect our attitudes and actions, and therefore they will determine whether our own walk with God is pleasing or displeasing to him. See that here? Don't be deceived. Evil communications, evil companionships and associations corrupt godly living, moral living that honors and glorifies God. And I think it appears from these two verses here that our friends and associations are more important than we might think. We're often associated with or in the company of various people throughout our daily lives. And while many of our contacts with others are mere acquaintances, some of these people are dear to our hearts and lives. Our responsibility to God and to ourselves is to determine whether or not are our friends living the kind of lives that are honoring to God, or even if they're unbelieving friends, are these individuals who are keeping me from a proper attitude and fellowship and walk with the Lord or not? Because if not, our association with them might be ruining our own testimony and fellowship with God, whether we know it or not. God's answer to the believer who finds himself or herself intentionally associating with those who are engaged in ungodly beliefs or behavior is clear. Look at verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Wake up. Wake up and change. Because evil friendships corrupt the life of a believer and our fellowship with God, it's necessary that we know then from Scripture what constitutes the wrong kinds of friends, so we can be obedient. So as obedient Christians, we can take the necessary actions. And God's word is full of descriptions of what kind of behavior to avoid, as well as examples of believers who've suffered for their compromise. I just want to consider six characteristics quickly this morning of the wrong kinds of friends as found in Scripture. I tried to get it on a slide. I tried to do a slideshow with this, and sorry, you just have to listen. You can't see it, all right? But six characteristics of the wrong kinds of friends from God's word. Not me just coming up here and telling you, you know, here's what I think is a good friend and not. This is God's word. Number one, those who gossip and spread rumors. The wrong kinds of friends. Look at Proverbs. We'll look at several texts. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 28. Proverbs 16, 28, we read, A froward man, a perverse man, soweth strife. You know what it says, sow strife? It means you are actively going out there and gossiping and spreading rumors. And a whisperer separateth, notice, chief friends. I think all of us have been at some point in our lives maybe in a circle of friends, and the circle starts to break apart, and what facilitates that breaking apart is someone putting things in the ear of others. Scripture says, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Those who make it their goal to gossip and spread rumors only ruin good friendships. Is there a New Testament equivalent to this truth? James chapter 3, the tongue. A little member, and the damage it can do is immeasurable. Young people are going through James. You'll get there. You'll see what that tongue can do. Those who gossip and spread rumors. Number two, those who spite others. Look at Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 9. Proverbs 11, 9. Solomon writes through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. But through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Notice this. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. You keep bringing up something to cause strife and to spite another. Men and women have the ability, young people have the ability to destroy others with our mouths. And those who do such things are dangerous to the believer. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, Paul writes, be put away from you with malice. Put it away. Have no part of that. Have no part of spiting others, being bitter against them and talking in like manner. Those who gossip and spread rumors, the wrong kind of friend. Those who spite others, the wrong kind of friend. Here's another one, and I have a tendency to say, listen up, young people, to this. And yet I think those of us who are old need it just as much. The third characteristic of the wrong kind of friend from God's word is those who have a bad attitude. The bad attitude. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. The Bible says, it doesn't say here, well, you know, see if you can rub off on this person. The principle is clear. Don't make a friendship with somebody and walk on the path of somebody with a bad attitude. The reason why we're to make no friendship with such an individual is found in the next verse. Notice verse 25. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Is a bad attitude contagious? As contagious as chicken pox. Well, used to be. I think they have vaccines for that now, but whatever. I mean, contagious. Don't make friendship with an angry man. The idea there is a bitter person who with a bad attitude, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. God knows that if we're going to learn his ways and get a snare to our soul, if that's the kind of person we call our friend. Certainly an attitude of bitterness and hate is contagious. Remember in Hebrews, the author of Hebrews says to look out lest, I'm paraphrasing because I can't recite it completely, but a root of bitterness springing up in you flow out and trouble many, thereby many be defiled. It's contagious. A bad attitude. Bad attitudes. Those who gossip and spread rumors. The Bible says those who spite others, those who have a bad attitude. Number four, those who love the things of the world. We're not talking here about, oh, I like the same, you know, food or music or TV show. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, just liking something. Those who love the things of the world, agape, the things of the world are their priority in life. James 4:4, what does James say? Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about the fact that we cannot serve two masters. Where's our love? Where are our priorities? With the things of the world or the things of God? You associate and call a close friend or a companion one who loves the things of the world above the things of the Lord, and you better watch out because you can't serve two masters. Those who gossip and spread rumors, who spite others, who have a bad attitude, who love the things of the world. Number five, those who do not give counsel from God's word. Be careful of those who you call your close friends and companions who do not give you counsel from The one place that you need to get counsel, the Word of God. Job 16, I referenced this quite a bit. I love Job 16. And remember, we know what happened to Job. And then there's these three friends of his that come around to tell him why it's happening to him and what's going wrong in his life. And, here's what's going on. And so Job comes to chapter 16 and he says in verse 2, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are y'all. Were they giving Job the counsel of God and the truth? Nah, a little bit of truth mixed with a lot of air. Miserable comforters are y'all, Job says. I mean, they must be in really close companions because you wouldn't just, would you really say that to someone? You're a miserable comforter. I mean, you got it. Your friend has to be able to take it. And look at this. Shall vain words have an end, Job says? empty words? I mean, are they ever going to end all this air that you're blowing out of your mouth, hot air? Or what emboldeneth thee that thou answerest? I also could speak as ye do. If your soul were in my soul's stead, I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you. Don't take friends who are not going to give you counsel from the Word of God, that are going to give you all kinds of worldly wisdom, all kinds of psychology, all kinds of, whatever pop, guru is out there at the time and the moment and best-selling author that's on, Oprah or that Rick Warren says to listen to or whatever it might be. The Word of God. It's all empty out there. It's vain. What we need are those who will direct us and counsel us from what God has to say in His Word. Finally, those who are not discerning. Proverbs, go back to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. I mean, let's be careful whom we call our friends when we perceive in the life and the words and the counsel of these individuals that there's no discernment in them. Now, again, I said from the very outset, don't be a jerk. We're not ever called to be mean. I'm just saying, who are we calling our companions, our friends, our close circle? We need to have friends who exercise discernment. Ephesians 5, Paul talks about this also in Ephesians 5. I'm not going to take the time to go there, but discernment. So much damage is done today when Christians find themselves in a difficult situation and they gather around them those who claim to speak, the things of the Lord or whatever, but really they're just pulling all kinds of stuff from everywhere and there's no discernment in what they're saying or who they're recommending. And we need to be very careful. Six characteristics of the wrong kinds of friends is found in Scripture. Those who gossip and spread rumors, those who spite others, those who have a bad attitude, those who love the things of the world, those who do not give counsel from God's word, and those who do not exercise discernment. There are biblical example after example of the consequences of people surrounding themselves with the wrong kinds of companions. Remember Lot? Lot and the men of Sodom? I mean, Lot was comfortable there. I mean, his soul was vexed in him, but on the outside, Lot. I mean, there we have Samson and Delilah. We looked at Job and his miserable comforters. I mean, we have to beware of the wrong kinds of friends. But let's look at the right kind. Let's end on a positive note here this morning. Those of you who are young and old alike. The Word of God not only describes the kinds of people we're to avoid when choosing friends and close companions, it also describes those who we are to embrace as friends and companions. While evil associations corrupt the life of a believer, godly companionships only serve to strengthen the life of the Christian and his or her relationship to God. I just can testify this morning, I've been on both sides. I've had the wrong kinds of friends and I've had the right kinds of friends in my life. And let me tell you what the right kinds of friends do for me. They encourage me, they rebuke me, they aid in my fellowship with God, and I cannot express what a blessing it is in this life to have those kinds of friends. To embrace godly friends is to follow God's command that we saw in 1 Corinthians to awake to righteousness and sin not. What are some biblical characteristics of godly friends? Well, most importantly, we see Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times. I mean, every other positive characteristic of a godly friend that we're going to look at from Scripture is rooted in an attitude of genuine love for the physical and spiritual well-being of another individual. It's rooted in love. And as brothers and sisters in Christ and members of the same body, we have this responsibility to not like one another, love one another. Yeah, I've said it so many times here. There are brothers and sisters in Christ that I don't have a lot of things in common with. I don't even really like the way they act or talk. I mean, whatever. But we are to love one another. We looked recently at what that is. What are the characteristics of the right kind of friends? Number one, those who will guide you according to God's will, whether you like it or not. Those who will guide you according to the will of God, whether or not you like it or want to hear it. Look at Proverbs chapter 27 while we're in Proverbs 27 and verse 6. Here's the right kind of friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. A true friend is one who will guide you according to God's will, whether you like it or not. In the latter part of Proverbs 17:17, it says, a friend loveth all times. The latter part says, a brother is born for adversity. A true friend will often warn us of danger if we're heading in the wrong direction, even though sometimes that warning might cause a tension in the relationship, in that fellowship. Those who always tell us what we want to hear are certainly not godly friends, because we read the second part of verse 6, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Those who will guide you according to God's will, whether you like it or not, see, because of love for you, they sometimes will tell you, hey, you know what? I don't think this is the right path to take. I don't think what you're doing is in accord with a faithful walk with Jesus Christ. Those who guide you according to God's will, whether you like it or not, man, what a wonderful kind of friend that is to have. The problem is we need to be careful that we don't become offended and, you know, because someone's trying to help us, we want to forget them. Number two, those who edify you, those who build you up and encourage you. We live in a society today where, you know, you need to tear each other down in order to build yourself up. And yet a true friend is the one who will edify you or build you up. We go to Romans chapter 14. And in Romans chapter 14, the Apostle Paul makes it clear in verse 18, Romans chapter 14 and verse 18, for he that is in these things serveth Christ, is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another or build up another. A godly friend is one who builds you up rather than tears you down through insult or gossip. We are to follow after the things wherewith one may edify another. A godly, righteous friend will seek to strengthen others because he loves them and she desires that which is best for them. What's the context here in Romans chapter 14? Other believers who are stronger or weaker in the faith, and showing deference to those who may be weaker in the faith. The right kind of friends are those who will guide you according to God's will, whether you like it or not. Those who will build you up, edify, encourage you in the things of the Lord. Number three, those who are kind and selfless. Well, we're in Romans. Look back at Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. A godly friend is kind and selfless. He or she fulfills this command to be kindly affectioned with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. The right kinds of friends. I'm not saying that we can't have people around us who are, you know, not saved and don't know the Lord. This isn't what we're talking about. We're talking about the close companionships and friendships that we need to form must come from the principles of God's word, which means stay away and watch out for these kinds of people, but open your arms and embrace these kinds of people. There are biblical examples of the right kinds of friends. Remember Paul and Timothy. I love the relationship between Paul and Timothy is so sweet because here Paul, you know, comes and calls Timothy his son in the faith. And then we see throughout Paul's life and his writings through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the care and concern he had for Timothy's spiritual well-being, even physical well-being, and the whole person of Timothy. Paul was concerned. He loved Timothy. He built up Timothy. He edified Timothy in the things of the Lord. What are the consequences of our friendships? Number one, like I said, our fellowship with God. Number two, our relationships with others. And number three, our own attitudes and our own physical and spiritual and emotional well-being. We need to look around. We need to ask ourselves some questions this morning, because I can choose my friends. I can choose my companions. Can't choose my colleagues. Can't choose my family. Can't choose some acquaintances. Can't choose my whatever they might be. But you can choose your friends and companions. What kind of people are you surrounding yourself with? Because we choose our friends and companions, we need to be sure to choose the right ones. We must not base our friendships on acceptance or, oh, this person accepts me, so great. You know, that's what, you know, gangs do. This gang accepts me, so I'm in this gang. Nothing good about that. We must not base our friendships on acceptance or on good feelings. Ooh, I just feel so good when I'm around this person. But on the principles as outlined from the Word of God, we have to be willing as young people and as older people alike to take control of our friendships and make changes if we need to, for God's glory and for our own good. If we don't, well, here's what we're doing. Think about this. If we don't, if we say, I'm not deceived, I can handle this, we're simply putting our relationship with another before our proper relationship or fellowship with God. That's idolatry. Don't make that mistake. As a good friend yourself, make sure you seek out fellowship with good friends and demonstrate biblical love, which entails looking out for the best interests of others at all times. So you say, okay, why the title this morning, Forsake the Foolish and Live? Well, we close with Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 6, where King Solomon writes, forsake the foolish and live. You mean there's a time to separate from other people, for my own well-being and for the glory of God? Yes. But conversely, let's replace that with a positive, and go in the way of understanding. And go in the way of understanding. Solomon learned this lesson. Before he took the throne, his father David said, there are certain people, there's like a circle of about four or five people that you need to get rid of and separate yourself from. They will attempt to usurp the throne. They will do what they can to try to thwart the plan and purpose and will of God. You need to take care of it. You know what Solomon did? He took care of it. And he could write, forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. That's my prayer for all of our young people here at Grace Bible Church. That's my prayer for all of us old people here at Grace Bible Church. We choose our friends. We choose our companions. We must make the right choices for God's glory, but for our own spiritual and physical and emotional well-being. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us to just consider this morning, especially as our young people have begun or either in the process of beginning a new school year and around many, many different people. We pray that in all things, Lord, those who know and love you will put you first in everything, including our friendships and our relationships and our companions. May we be a light and a testimony and an ambassador to all people around us. And if those around us do not know you as Savior, Lord, may we be able to share the glorious gospel, the good news of your love for us, leading to the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the wonderful grace that you bestowed upon us, that through faith alone, we put our trust in you and we have a relationship with you forever. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you so much. Bless the rest of our time together this morning as we go our separate ways, as we fellowship. Bring us back together tonight. For your glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.